You're listening to Westside Church. For more information, visit us at westsideinfo.com.
Man, thanks, Paul. Good morning, everybody. It's nice to see all of you here today on a beautiful Sunday morning. And there's some more and more new faces in here. I'm glad to see you guys here. And thanks for coming out, taking a chance. My name is Steve, and I'm serious. It's tough going in a new place. I have the privilege of leading the eldership team that leads the church here at Westside. This is our second of three services over the weekend here. And God's doing a great thing here. And the stuff that goes on here isn't because we have snazzy chairs or a beautiful cathedral of a building. It's because Almighty God is here. Jesus said, if two or three are gathered in my name, that there I am in their midst. And so it's just a wonderful privilege. During the singing time, I just was overwhelmed by God's goodness. Most of you have heard my story. Some of you haven't heard my story. I was a foster kid growing up in Santa Barbara, California. Didn't know my dad. When I was 5 years old, my mom died. Went around from foster home to foster home. And I just was counting up that by the time I got to finished high school, well, I didn't finish high school. I had been to 17 different schools growing up. It was the grace of God that I'm here today because the devil had my number and tried to derail me. I don't know how many times. God is good. His faithfulness is good. And I get to spend life here on this earth with my best friend, Terry. We've been married 41 years and 7 grandkids and just loving, serving Jesus. We've been at this church now over 15 years. And some of you early timers go, I can't believe it's been 15 years. That fast, but it's all because of the grace of God. It's all because of Him and what He has done. And I am so thankful for dozens, scores, actually hundreds. We have, I think the last time we counted up, 250-some people on serving teams of some sort or another. All hands on deck, people contributing, using their gifts to serve one another. Yeah, I'm telling you, that makes it easy. Just loving God, loving others, and making a difference in our sphere of influence. Everybody having a uniqueness about them. Everybody having their special gifts and brings out another flavor in the stew, you know, and I just love it. I just love serving God. I love seeing young people. Thanks, Amy, for walking out right when I was going to highlight you. And young people up on the stage here and using their gifts to serve. And don't worry, she's not embarrassable. She's the kind that will embarrass you if you mess up. So anyway, so the very first day she was ever here, it's when she was 7, she volunteered to be social coordinator for Westside Church. That's a true story. And so anyway, I love the wonderful richness that we have. We have young, old, rich, poor, business people. People work for the government, people, lots of firefighters and law enforcement in the church, and lots of homemakers, lots of very creative people in the church, life of the church. And Ray and Marge are just about ready to celebrate their 60th wedding anniversary, right? In a couple months. And that's coming up real soon. I mean, just everything, new babies, and I'm telling you, it's just a delight to be in such a wonderful mix of God's people. This is a safe place here at Westside. If you're looking for a church home, this is a safe place where we don't think we're it, but we are part of it. And we get to go along for the ride that Jesus is authoring. So we're in the middle of a series. We started last fall on the commands of Jesus. It's part of the Great Commission. Jesus said, go, and I'm sending you, and I have all authority that's been given me, and now I'm giving that to you. I want you to go make disciples, and I want you to teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I'm with you to the end of the age. And so this teaching the commands of Jesus, it's not just teaching them as a list to learn and check off, but it's teaching people to obey those commands. It's a one thing for you to teach your kids the rules in your house. It's another thing to teach them to obey those rules. And not only to obey them as in they have to, but eventually by the time you release those kids, because you're training those kids not for you. You're training those kids one day to establish their own household and to serve God in their own sphere of influence. But you're teaching them to own those values. You're teaching them to embrace the things that are important to you. And so in the kingdom, we have this wonderful mandate of teaching the commands of Jesus, but not just so we become legalistic Pharisees and follow all the rules without any relationship. Because if you have rules without relationship, you're going to develop one of two things. You're going to develop robots or rebels. Either people that will just follow all the rules and have no heart, or people that just say, forget this. So rules with relationship is authenticity. And so I just love being part of that. So anyway, in the commands of Jesus, one of the most recent ones that we started is Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit. And that wasn't a suggestion, it was a command. So lo and behold, Easter comes along and we have to take a pause on receive the Holy Spirit, because I think we spent 2 weeks on it before Easter. And then on Easter, we did the command of you must be born again. That was a great opportunity to share the gospel with lots of visitors that day. And then the last 2 weeks, we had a couple of special things. Jody Romero was here, and Mark preached last week on serving. They both did excellent jobs and complimented each other very, very well. So we're back on the part of the Holy Spirit. I was going to do three parts, but in preparing this week, we might have one or maybe even two more on the Holy Spirit, because it is a big deal. Jesus said, when I go back home to heaven, the Father will send another helper, the Holy Spirit. So he's the one that is here. He's the one that goes before us. I do not want to get ahead of the Holy Spirit. I want to follow the Holy Spirit. I want to follow God's leading. I don't want to get ahead of him and say, God, follow my will. I want to say, God, what is your will? And I want to follow that. So that's part of this series. So in John chapter 20, Jesus, this is the night after, this is the night that he rose from the dead, Sunday night. He rose from the dead that morning. The disciples were freaking out because they didn't know if the Romans were out to crucify them. They didn't know, you know, just their whole world was spinning. So they were behind closed doors and Jesus appears to them because his body's been glorified. So when our bodies eventually, Jesus was the firstborn of all creation, so he's the first one to do that. When we do that, when we go into eternity, we're going to have this glorified body, and we're maybe, I don't know, pass through walls. That would be great, playing hide-and-go-seek in heaven, you know, like poof, here I am. And so all of a sudden, the disciples were real anxious, and Jesus says, peace. I bet he just came right up behind Peter and goes, peace, be still. You're like this, and they're all freaking out. Because he has to say it a second time. So he says, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. All right, so that's our command here. But Jesus said, wait until he comes upon you, until you are filled with or baptized with, the Bible talks about baptized with the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Wait. And so they went and they waited, and in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 comes in an amazing way. Francis Chan said in his book, The Forgotten God, he said, if I were Satan and my ultimate goal was to thwart God's kingdom and purposes, one of my main strategies would be to get churchgoers to ignore the Holy Spirit. Terry and I grew up in churches like that. Our dads were both pastors. They were best friends with each other, but they both kind of were from a very conservative evangelical background. They loved God. They were passionate about seeing people come to Jesus, and they believed in the Holy Spirit, but embracing the moving and the gifts of the Spirit, they weren't so much into that. And so our early adulthood, Terry's in mind, we went to a church that was way over on the other side of the spectrum about the Holy Spirit. So we've learned a lot and seen a lot of moves of God over the decades. And I think that we are much better off studying what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit than to try to concoct some sort of new thing. And so this is what we're doing during this series. So a couple weeks ago, we talked about the Holy Spirit is God. We talked about the Trinity. It's a very difficult concept for our finite minds to understand infinity. And our statement of faith here at Westside is, we believe that there is one God eternally existent in three persons. So that's a tough concept. But in the Bible, there's evidence for oneness, there's evidence for threeness, and there's evidence for the Trinity, three in one. In fact, the Great Commission, Jesus says, baptize them in the name, singular, of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, plural. So there is evidence for that. And then in Ephesians 5:18, Paul says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so that grammar there in Greek is present tense and ongoing. It's like keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Like keep on filling your car with gas if you want to go. All right? That's the kind of thing there. And then the next week we talked about the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's active in our lives. The Holy Spirit is active. In fact, we, those of us who have said yes to Jesus and are Christians, we cannot come to God unless the Holy Spirit draws us. We didn't cross that void on our own, but the Holy Spirit began gently to draw us to Him. Some of you might be in that condition today, and you go, what the heck am I doing in church on Sunday morning? I never thought I would be here. But there's something that's just gently drawing you to. Is there a God? Yes, there is. And who is that God? It's Jesus. And He's drawing me, and He loves me, and He showed how much He loved me by dying for my sins. All of this is the Holy Spirit gently drawing us. Maybe you felt encouraged during the singing time, or maybe somebody greeted you ahead of time, or maybe you were strengthened by hearing Deborah's testimony of God healing her, or maybe you were comforted in some way this morning. All those are evidences of the Holy Spirit working among us. It's not manipulation, it's not crowd control, it's Almighty God working on our hearts. And so, He was involved in the new birth, He leads us, He guides us into all truth, He teaches us, purifies us, builds confidence in us. All these things the Holy Spirit does, and He enables us to do what He's called us to do. So, as we ask for the Holy Spirit, that's how you receive the Holy Spirit, you ask. Jesus said, ask and you'll receive. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit. And we yield our lives to Him and we enjoy His presence. So today, part three, all of that was review to get us back on track here. It's like kids coming back from summer vacation in September, you know, getting them back on track. So here we are in part three of the Holy Spirit. He gives us gifts is part three. So I'm going to start by reading. It's not really in your notes, but you could write down in your notes 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11. That's what I'm going to start out reading now. And this is Paul talking to the church at Corinth who were out of control because the Holy Spirit was this new thing and they were having fun. And yet they were like puppy dogs that were not trained. You know, jumping all over you and just out of control. This was the Corinthian church. They loved God, but they were a mess, all right? And he writes this whole letter to them and deals with some things very severely. And then he also gives them instruction about the things of the Spirit. So he says here, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That means when you come to Jesus, when you submit your life to Him, when you are yielded to the Spirit, He endows you, imbues you with His Spirit, and He gives you gifts. And so that's what Paul is really carefully instructing and teaching here. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For yourself? No. The gifts of the Spirit are not for you. They're for the common good. All right? They're to be used by you for others so that God gets the glory. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. And to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. Oh, no. Some of you grew up in churches like I did where that was like, all of a sudden when you said that word, look, it was from heaven. Da-da! Like this. I mean, like when you pray for somebody and God heals them, that why isn't that a ta-da like this? I don't know. The devil likes to do stuff like that and get people mixed up and to either go overboard or underboard. All right? And we want a good, healthy dose of what God really said about this. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions... Oh, I forgot. Interpretation was another one. Who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now, some of the modern translations says that God gives each one. You just get one. And this is very clear. This is out of the English Standard Version. It's a very clear that God distributes a gift. And when he distributes a gift to you, it could be these three or four things and these three or four things put together to make up who you are. Because each one of you is unique. You're gifting. So your gift is singular, but it's actually a package of giftings, if that makes sense. Then a couple chapters over in 1 Corinthians 14. The 1 Corinthians 13 is known as the love chapter. All right, remember? The love chapter. All right, 1 Corinthians 13. Paul talks about the gifts of the spirits in chapter 12, then love. And he said, don't even... try to do anything. Don't try to have faith that moves mountains or healing or give everything you have to the poor. Don't try to do anything without love. If you do that without love, you are just being a bunch of noise and a show-off, all right? If it's not rooted and grounded in love, and God is love, God is love, and if we're rooted and grounded in the love of Almighty God, and that's our motivation, then these things become gifts used for his glory, yeah. Not for our glory, all right? Let love be your highest goal. He's referring back to chapter 13. But you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. Now, there's some good benefits of speaking in tongues right there, right? You're speaking mysteries. Your spirit's in connection with the Spirit of God, and you're talking to God. Your spirit's talking to God, but it's saying, actually, he gets into this whole chapter where words that are understandable are more important in this context of meeting together in the church. So, verse 3. This is a big deal because we say this all the time at Westside Church. If you've been strengthened, encouraged, and comforted. We didn't just come up with those words. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit. It's right here in verse 3. But the one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. The prophetic operating in the church. That is the presence of the Holy Spirit moving among us. Whatever gifts that we're exercising that was in the list two chapters earlier in chapter 12 that we just read, that is the Holy Spirit moving. So when you leave, every time you come together to a small group or to a Bible study or pray together as a family around the table or come to church like this, and you leave encouraged and strengthened or comforted, that is God moving among us. You got to give him the glory for those things. Yeah, we got a great church. Yeah, we got great people, all that thing. But it's because God's here. All right? So, verse 4, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. That's another purpose of speaking in tongues, strengthened personally. But one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues, unless... someone interprets what you are saying so that the whole church will be strengthened. 1 Corinthians 14, down toward the end of the chapter, verse 26 to 29 and verse 30. Well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given. One will speak in tongues, another will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you. No more than two or three should speak in tongues. They must speak one at a time, and someone must interpret what they say. But if no one is present who can interpret, they must be silent in your church meeting and speak in tongues to God privately. Let two or three people prophesy, and let others evaluate what is said. That means this body is charged with evaluating a prophetic word or even the preaching. You are charged. You're not off the hook and say, okay, well, that's what they said. They have the microphone. They must be right. You are charged. If you're a believer, you're charged with getting to know this word more and more and to be able to discern and say, God, help us to understand. Is this truth or is this error that's being presented to us? And same thing in your small groups, those kind of things. So, verse 39. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and don't forbid speaking in tongues. That's pretty clear. I grew up in a church that forbade the speaking in tongues. And we don't exalt that. The problem is sometimes people seek the gifts instead of seeking the giver of the gifts. All right? It's much more important to seek God. There's no evidence anywhere in the Bible of people saying, other than prophecy, Paul says, desire the prophecy. That's where you bring strength, encouragement, and comfort of these great gifts. But there's always those gifts fall upon people who are seeking God. All right? So that's what we're going to do here. So don't forbid speaking in tongues, but be sure that everything is done decently or properly and in order. All right? So there's some good instruction Paul is giving to a wacko church. All right? To get them back on track. So a couple things today. Gifts, all the gifts are given by God. They don't come from us. If we're talented, it's because of Him. If we are athletic, it's because of Him, or musically inclined, or mathematically inclined, or challenged, whatever you want to say, all those things. The gifts that we have are from God, all right? They're not ours. And we know here at Westside that we use our gifts to serve others so that God gets the glory. And the second part B, gifts are given by God for us to serve others. It's not for our personal benefit, but it's for others. So what gifts are we talking about? This gets very confusing in Scripture. So we're going to take a breather here and do a little bit of teaching. All right. I used to be a junior high teacher. So today we're going to have a little bit of class. We're going to talk about gifts for a few moments. You know the word love is translated in English in the Bible, but there's several different Greek words. Now, I'm not a Greek master of Greek. The phrase, it's all Greek to me, really is, it's all Greek to me. But I have a great program in my Bible, my Strong's Concordance. Some of you have a big old book on your shelf. Mine's in my computer. And I can double-click on any word that I'm reading, studying for, and up pops Strong's here, and there's the Greek word for it. And then the best thing is I click on the little microphone, and it tells me what the word is. And like, doma, doma, doma. All right, or phanerosis, 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 till I can remember it. And so, or I always say agape, and it goes agape, agape. And I go, Terry, listen to me. I have earphones, like, agape, agape. And I still say agape, all right, because we speak English here. So, anyway, there's three kinds of gifts. There's charisma gifts. That word is translated as gift in the New Testament. The Greek word is charisma. Those are grace gifts. Then there's doma gifts. Those are people gifts. And then there are phanerosis gifts, or gifts of the Spirit. So I'm going to talk about the first two real quick and then get into the gifts of the Spirit. So first of all, the charisma gifts. You've heard that phrase before. Somebody's charismatic, they have a gift, you know, or whatever. That's what that means. The word charisma means gift. It's a divine gratuity, a spiritual endowment, religious qualification, or a miraculous faculty. It's a free gift. That's what Strong's says. So this is the thing about these charisma gifts. You are born with them. They are innate. It's like part of computer hardware. There's no software yet. That's it. The hard drive holds this much, the processor is this fast, you know, and the screen is this big, those kind of things. It's just who you're born with. And that's your personality, who you are, your temperament, those things. And we do a lot on that here in the church when we're talking about our gifts. That's the whole purpose of that, is to discover our gifts so that we can use them to serve others. But they're given by God. They can be enhanced through learning. They can be given by God sometimes by the laying on of hands, like Paul told Timothy. To stir up that gift that was given to you by the laying on of hands. These are mostly listed in Romans chapter 12. Paul is talking about the body. He's talking about each one of you as part of the body. Like the church is compared to a body. Jesus is the head. You can't choose that. Jesus already is the head. All right. We are parts of the body. Just like the body has many parts, all the parts have a function. Some are seen and some of them parts of the body are unseen, but they all work together to make a complete body. So that's pretty much the biggest argument for the need to gather together as believers. It's not just me and Jesus. Some people say, oh, well, yeah, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, just me and him, I don't need church like this. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we are all part of it. It would be like the finger saying, it's just me and Jesus. So Jesus is the head, you got a finger, and you got a big old head on top of a finger just hopping down the street. That's not a body. It can't do anything. And my favorite is the liver. All right, what if you're the liver? What if that's what part of the body you are? There's a big old liver and a head, you know, just like going down the street. That is not a body. That's not a complete body. We are part of a body. We all use our gifts together. So Paul lists these in Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. He talks about prophecy. Prophecy is not the same as prophesying. It is more where you come from. Are you a black and white person? Are you a truth teller? That's a prophetic gift. And before you were a Christian, if you were a truth teller, you're still going to be a truth teller after you're a Christian. All right? It's just that's who you are. Some is teaching. Those with a teaching base, they cannot help but teach. So that's one of my high ones there. Terry, when she asked me something, she now asks, please don't give me the long answer. Just give me the short answer. Tell me the answer to this. Because my inclination is to tell her why and the history of it and the development of it. And let's look up in Wikipedia and find out all this stuff. And she goes, no, just tell me. What do I need to do? And so then there's a giving gift. That's people who have a talent, maybe for business or earning money, and they pour finances into the kingdom. This is the gift of giving. It's a gift of giving that Paul talks about here in Romans 12. This church has been supported over the years by the faithfulness of people putting in their tithes and offerings week after week. But this church also has received large gifts over time. And those are common throughout the kingdom, that people will give an influx of money and those kind of things. This church has been very, very fortunate to receive quite a few larger gifts. You know, all of a sudden a check comes in the mail for $20,000 or $10,000 or something like this, or sometimes even more. And those are things that people have. God has gifted them to earn money. That therefore, they have to spend most of their time out there in the world being a light for Jesus, but making that money to bring it into the kingdom of God. So that's what that is. And then there's the gift of mercy. Mercy is who you are. See, if you grew up bringing every stray dog and cat in the neighborhood home, you may have the gift of mercy, all right? If there's always a couple extra spots at the dinner table for people, that may be you. If your car is always full, taking it to somewhere else, that may be the gift of mercy operating. Then serving. Now, this one is confusing because we're all supposed to serve. In fact, all of these could be. All of us are to be mercy-hearted. All of us are to give. All of us are to teach and instruct at some time or another. But what is your foundation? What you can't help but do these things. That's who you are. You speak that, you eat that, drink that, sleep that, walk that out. So serving are the people who have to get, roll up their sleeves, get behind, get in the kitchen back here. They don't care if anybody sees them or not. They just want to serve the Lord, and they are happy about it. Encouraging, that's people who are always cheerleading, exhorting, come on, you can do it, and helping people out that way. Leadership, that's not insecurity leadership. Leadership is just saying, hey, I know where I'm going. Do you want to follow me? Come with me. Like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Come on, let's go. Those people have the gift of leadership. The other references to charisma in the New Testament and other passages are hospitality is one, speaking, the ability to speak, helps ministry, administration. This one, a lot of our young people love this one. This is the gift of celibacy. That is a gift for some. And then there's also creative skills. It could be music or sewing arts or those kind of things. Those are all gifts that God, the ability that God gave. In 1 Peter 4:10, God has given each of you a gift. Now it says a gift. It doesn't mean one gift. It means a gift. Your gift might encompass several different gifts. That's your package of giftings, a gift from God, from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. So on these kind of gifts, the charisma gifts, who has them? Everyone has them, all right? How do you recognize them? How do you know? Well, here's a good way to tell. When you are exercising this gift, are you grumpy and complaining about it, or are you energized and excited about it? Some people are doing something that they just love. Like, how are you doing that? They have the grace for it. That's why it's called a grace gift. They have the grace to do that. They love doing that. It energizes them where it would deplete you. And then other people have other gifts that really, what really turns you on? Like, use those gifts to serve God. And at Westside here, we say we have as many ministries at Westside as people as we have people, because we want everybody to use their gift and serve Jesus with it. All right? Use them well. Don't neglect them. 1 Timothy 4, Paul says, don't neglect that gift. And also 2 Timothy 1:6, he said, fan it into flames. Sometimes you got to stir it up. Yeah, I do love this thing. Why am I not doing what I love? Why am I doing the stuff I hate? I'm grumpy all the time. All right? And so the next kind of gift is doma giftings. It's a present. These are people gifts to the church. And this is out of Ephesians 4. And there's the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. This is fivefold ministry. Some people say fourfold ministry. Pastor, teacher are the same thing. They say it doesn't matter. There's five words there, so we call it the Ephesians 4, translocal, fivefold ministry. These are people that are gifts to the church, all right? These are people that are gifts to the church. For example, an evangelist, an Ephesians 4 evangelist, is not somebody who just wants to tell people about Jesus. That's evangelism. An Ephesians 4, a true evangelist, comes into the local church. Say if we invited one of our friends, maybe Terry Kruger or somebody who's really good at evangelism, to come in and do some teaching and training on evangelism for a weekend. And then when they leave, everybody's got evangelism on their heart. You know what they've done? They've equipped the saints for the work of service. When they leave, a deposit has been made. So that's what these gifts are: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. The apostle, he governs. You can kind of think of it like a thumb. The apostle is the master builder because he can touch all the other ministries. They all have to work in a conjunction with that. The apostle governs, prophet guides, the evangelist gathers, the pastor guards, and the teacher grounds, and all those work together in the fivefold ministry. I'm so glad that this church is connected to a team of seasoned men and women of God that have those giftings. Their purpose is to equip the saints, we are the saints, for works of service. There's not just the pros. Any of you can go to the hospital and pray for somebody. Any of you can tell your friends about Jesus, all right? So we are the saints, and we are called to do the works of service. Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord. There's your evidence that it's still necessary and needed in the church, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Okay, the last one, phanerosis gifts. We're going to go just a couple minutes longer today than normal. This is the gifts of the Spirit that we talked about at the beginning where we read through it. In 1 Corinthians 12, they're listed here. That's a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom is when you say something wise and it didn't come from you. Maybe you're talking, praying with a friend has a problem, and all of a sudden you're talking, you say, let's pray together, and then you start giving them some stuff, and all of a sudden a sentence comes out of your mouth, and you go, wait a minute, I want to get that back, write that down, that was good, I'm going to tweet that later. And so this is really wise, but I didn't think of that. That's the Holy Spirit gives you wisdom. A word of wisdom, that's a supernatural gift. Don't discount that because it doesn't seem, you know, fancy. That's a big thing. Then there's the word of knowledge that, that's where you know something, a fact, that you wouldn't otherwise know unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. Parents, this is a good one. Ask God for a word of knowledge for your kids. God, please don't let my kids get away with anything without telling me about it. And to depend on that. Faith, that's a gift. That means you are firmly persuaded. You're confident, and then you act upon that, a gift of faith. Terry has a great gift of faith. She sees things ahead of time, acts on them, prepares for them, and all of a sudden, boom, they come like this. And she can see it happening and follow through. Healing, that's when you're used by God to pray for people. They get healed physically or emotionally or relationally or spiritually, those kind of things. Then miracles, that's where God circumvents nature. That's when they're... See, healing is a natural thing that God made. Our bodies are always being healed by God. Every time you get cut or a bruise or something, God heals that. That's something that God set up. He kind of rolled that bowling ball down the aisle and said, your body is going to heal itself. These kind of things, that's what God set there. But then sometimes when you pray for somebody, you get healed instantly. That's a miracle where nature and the laws of physics are circumvented. Elijah prays for the axe head, the iron axe head to rise to the top of the water, those kind of things. Jesus said, peace, be still to the storm. That's when you're circumventing nature. And then you have the discernment of spirits. That's where in your knower, you know something is wrong. That's the Holy Spirit working in there for you. To build up the body here and to encourage others. Then there is the gift of tongues. Tongues is mostly personal. If you read through that carefully, what we just read in 1 Corinthians 14 and 12 and 14, you'll see that tongues, speaking in tongues, is mostly personal, but there is also a place for it in the church, all right? So in verse 2 of chapter 14, speaking to God is a reason. In verse 2 also, it talks about we're sharing mysteries in the Spirit. In Jude verse 20, when you pray in the Holy Spirit, that's your heavenly language. You're building up your most holy faith. It's like spiritual calisthenics. And then in verse 14, it says it gives your spirit an outlet for prayer. That's speaking in tongues. And then there is the public tongues. And this is when there is a message to the church. When there is a message to the entire church and it's in tongues, that means nobody really understands it. There must be an interpretation. So don't be surprised. Every once in a while, there is a message in tongues in this church. It goes through our eldership at Westside here. We do things decently and in order. It goes through, everybody's just not all over the place. That's what Paul was chastising the Corinthians about. So come up and tell whoever has the microphone, that's the elder that's leading the service. Paul is leading this service. So he's in charge. He has the microphone. It's always on. And he can have that like during the worship time. Not right now. Wouldn't be appropriate. But like during, you know, the singing time and stuff, if you have a word, come up and those kind of things. And so that must be interpreted. So you can personally worship in church. You can speak in tongues personally, privately. That's not a message to the church. A lot of times people stop singing in English and start singing in their Holy Spirit language, and it's wonderful. There's a download. There's a connection. Your spirit's connected to God there. And then there's prophecy. Prophecy always brings encouragement, strength, and comfort. It builds up the church. It's not fortune-telling. It's forth-telling. And generally, the very serious prophetic words like, you know, move to Iowa, sell your business, you know, open up a McDonald's, you know, those kind of things, those would have to be from a trusted, seasoned minister, prophetic person of God that was recognized, and you have to bear witness to it as well. Don't ever do anything somebody told you prophetically that you don't bear witness to, because you're a knower. The Holy Spirit in there knows truth from error. And so I just want to say this about the prophetic. Many of you are not operating in the prophetic, and Paul said to eagerly desire that. To give that word, that's maybe you're Monday morning, you're reading a scripture, and it just, wow, that's great. You know, it just pops out at you, and then it kind of goes through your mind all week long. God is getting that ready for you to deliver at the opportune moment. And be ready. When you talk to somebody, hug them, greet them, shake their hand, and God says, now, like this. You know what? I just want to share this verse that's been going on in my heart all week long. And I don't know why, but I just feel that God wants to, you know, give it to you right now. Start out that way. Maybe after you're seasoned for a few years, you're going to say, God wants you to know this. You know, you get a little more confident in it. But that's okay. Just use your gift. Begin to exercise the gifts that God gave you. And then there's interpretation of tongues. If there ever is a message in church, I'm telling you from the elders that we will make sure things are done decently in order. There will be an interpretation. An interpretation is not a translation. It is just what is the heart of God on this issue. So, in closing here, the application, the gifts of the Spirit here, just remember these things. Number one, because you operate in the gifts of the Spirit, because you're using them, it doesn't necessarily reflect maturity. You can be very immature and use the gifts of the Spirit. That's what the church in Corinth was doing, very, very immaturely. And it's like a little two-year-old walking around with a shotgun. There's a lot of power there. There's a power, dunamis power of the Holy Spirit, but it's not being exercised maturely. And so, number two, the gifts of the Spirit, Paul tells us to eagerly desire them. 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. There's nothing wrong with eagerly desiring those. Just make sure that you're desiring God more than you're desiring the gifts that God gives. All right? And number three, the gifts are for the benefit of all. If a gift is ever being used to promote self, that's not being used wisely. The Holy Spirit is always, always, always about magnifying Jesus, promoting Jesus, pointing people to Jesus. That's the benefit of the Holy Spirit. So very clear, very simple is the best thing here. And then verse number four, the whole body, don't forget, can judge manifestations. And you're thinking about in church here, but how about your small group? Somebody, during the prayer time, somebody gives a word, could be a scripture, an encouragement, a picture, you know, whatever it is. The whole group is responsible to judge that. All right? Because in our knower, we know truth from error because the Holy Spirit resides there. And timing and style can be controlled. I remember in our old church, there was a guy who insisted on during the middle of the preaching, just like this, getting up in the back corner and just started declaring the word of the Lord like this. So I was the minister of helps in those days. So I had about 16 teams, kind of like what Patrick and Kimberly do now. Whole bunch of teams. One of them were the ushers, and I had the ushers train about three big guys just carry this guy out like this. And I went out and talked to him while they kind of held him. And he goes, "You're stopping the word of the Lord." I said, "No, we're stopping you. We're not stopping God. We're stopping you." That was out of order. You were drawing attention to yourself. You weren't drawing attention to God. And so it can be controlled because verse 32 in that chapter 14 says, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the spirit of the prophet. In other words, you can't claim, I got a serious case of the I can't help it. All right? You can't claim that because you can help it. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So I hope that brings some good... we owe other believers consideration and courtesy. Verse 29, let two or three prophets speak and let the others weigh what is said. So I wrote this down this week. If someone would speak that which is contrary to truth or the word of God, with the Holy Spirit's enabling, the whole congregation should immediately recognize the error. Okay, so we're all charged with that. And then, number five, in our meetings, things should be done decently in order. Verse 29 there. So at Westside Church, the elders are charged with leading the meetings. And we all, this isn't in the Bible, you know, Westside Church, you make sure that one elder holds the mic like this. No, we're charged with doing decently things decently in order. So what we've come up with is one elder leads, he has the mic. The other elders even go to that, and if they have input in those kind of things, and he's making eye contact with the worship leaders up here and those kind of things. So the elders are leading the meeting there, and they have to weigh the congregation's ability to receive and what the Holy Spirit is saying and all these things. It's pray for the elders. It's a difficult thing. But also in your small groups, the small group leader, if you're leading a Bible study or a small group, you're charged with keeping things decently in order too. Somebody in your group shouldn't be drawing attention to themselves constantly. It should always be promoting Jesus. All right? So finally, we have the charisma gifts. Those are the temperament, personality gifts. The cloth we're cut from. Those are good gifts the Father gives to His children. Isn't that great? The Father gives His children good gifts. The doma gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, those are good gifts that the Son gives to His bride, the church. And the phanerosis gifts, those are good gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to His co-laborers, because you are co-laborers with the Holy Spirit, working side by side with Almighty God. Isn't that great? So you have homework this week. I don't usually do homework, but since we had a little teaching, I want you to go back sometime, maybe this afternoon or during the week, and I want you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's the love chapter. Read it once again. And maybe the second time you read it through, substitute the word love with your name. So instead of saying Steve is patient, love is patient, love is kind, I'll say Steve is patient, Steve is kind. And then you can read it a third time and substitute the word love for God, because God is love, God is patient, God is kind, all right? And so read it that way and allow the Lord to speak to you through that. Finally, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. This is that same one, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. This is Eugene Peterson's in the Message. This is a paraphrase. I like this. Go after a life of love as if your life depends on it, because it does. Give yourselves to the gifts God gives you. Most of all, try to proclaim His truth. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, thank You for this passage here and the instruction that we have on the Holy Spirit. I pray that people would be absolutely, totally, and wholly dedicated to pursuing You. And that means to be full of the Holy Spirit. And when we are full of the Holy Spirit, we use the gifts that He gives us. The first week we talked about it, and we said, if anybody desires the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, how much more will the Heavenly Father give to the Spirit, to those who ask. Just say, God, right now, I want all that You have to give. Fill me afresh with Your Holy Spirit. I love You, Jesus. I love You, God. I want everything. I want to be overflowing. I don't want to be half full of me and half full of You. I want to be all the way full of You, God. Thank You, Lord, for this great privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.